Welcome to Crooners and Coffee Shops, everyone. My name is Heather. Today I have Lee Anderson here to discuss music, upcoming works. And Lee, we would love to start off by hearing how you got started in music.
Oh, yeah. How I got started in music. It was actually, I feel like music just chose me. It's one of those things where I always was just drawn to sound and how to mimic singers and instruments and just trying to create different things on my own. And I remember even trying to like sing Jody Watley before I even knew my ABCs. So I've always been drawn to sound, and I knew immediately, like after I sang in front of people for the first time, that this was going to be something that I was going to pursue for the rest of my life. So music chose me.
Yes. I mean, yes. Sometimes that's just how it works. And did you come from a musical background at all, like with your family?
My family are avid music listeners. Like they love music, and a lot of my parents' first dates before children were going to see a lot of the huge bands in the 70s. So they saw the Commodores, they saw Earth, Wind & Fire, they saw George Clinton. So they've always been playing those types of sounds around me. And I grew up in a house full of Phil Collins, Whitney Houston, and even into like getting a little bit older, my dad forced smooth jazz down my throat. So even though he can't sing, he always like made sure that I was surrounded by music, and he always made sure that I was getting the training, that I was on the band, that I was practicing my instrument, that I was going to talent shows, just hindering the importance of learning music in theory. So although my parents aren't musicians, they always told me to follow my dreams and just try to give me the proper tools so I could grow into an adult and, you know, make a living doing music.
Yeah. And that's so awesome to hear, because, you know, it's so common, unfortunately, for creative efforts in general, where, you know, it's not considered successful career choices.
Right.
And, you know, when you've grown up with certain standards in specific families and communities and such, it sometimes gets hard. And it's always awesome to hear stories of parents just supporting their children in what they want to do. And like you said, giving them the tools to potentially turn this into a career in the future.
Yeah. And my mom always said, you could always go back to school if it doesn't work. Like she's like, I would love to have an architect in the family, but if you want to do that at 50, that's fine.
I was going to say school is always going to be here.
School is always going to be there. If you want to pivot, you could pivot, but at least try what you really want to do first.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. And kind of going into your music, you're riding the highs of your latest single, On My Birthday, and we cannot get enough of it.
Thank you.
Yeah. For those who have not had a chance to fall in love with it yet, would you care to share a little bit about how the lyrical and instrumentation kind of came to be?
Oh, sure. Well, it was inspired by the pandemic, ultimately. I'm a winter baby, and I'm born in January. So I didn't think that I would have a quarantine birthday. Like COVID came around and hit us hard March. Initially, I thought it was going to be done by June. Then by September, I'm seeing like all these Virgos. And then I see the Libras and the Scorpios and the Sagittarius is still at home. And I'm like, dang, oh my God, I might have a quarantine birthday too. So I was like, dang, I don't want to. I want to go out with my friends. I want to be the wave. So I just literally poured out my heart in a poetic form. And it was actually, it's a little bit longer, and I might publish the long version later, but it's not melodic. It's just something you could read like as a monologue. And so I have like literally a monologue of everything that I wish I could have done on my birthday. And when I got the melody, I hit up with one of my friends, Scott. I always had the philosophy that I want to do during the pandemic everything that I said I was too busy to do. And I've never had the chance to work with this specific person, Scott Stein. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see what he's doing, see if he's ready to play, because he's just a wonderful pianist. And he's like, yeah, I'm just home. I just had a baby. Well, he didn't really have a baby, but his wife had a baby. But he had a baby too. It's his seed. So he had a baby. And and so he literally wrote it at home. And he's like, dang, like he was really, really... He told me that he was like really, really feeling what I was saying. And he drew a melodic melody of electric piano underneath it, just so it has that whole essence of partying alone by yourself at home. Like what a lot of us had to do these past 2 years or past year and a half.
It's practically almost. Oh man, I hope it doesn't end up being 2 years, but you know, I mean, My Chemical Romance just postponed their tour again. So I will have had my tickets for like 3 years. I have no concept of time now. If I bought them in 2019 and their tour is now in 2022, is that 3 years or is that? Yes, that's 3 years.
Yeah, we rounded off. Yeah,
we rounded off. It's going to be about 3 years. I've never had concert tickets this long before in my life.
I mean, I never even thought of it. Like you just having them there, like. Wow.
they're sitting. They're just sitting
there.
They're chilling. I'm like, well, I will be celebrating all the concert tickets that I have when we can get back to the concerts. And like I feel like kind of like what you mentioned about wanting to do all the things that you didn't have time to do, and now pandemic offered the opportunity to kind of start doing that. And I feel like a lot of people kind of needed a reset in a way.
Oh yes, for sure.
Because all of us
did.
Yeah, all of us have been very much about the constant hustle and
not going to the office.
Yes, and not doing the work life balance particularly well. Maybe we were maintaining it, but
we needed that more time to ourselves, like just to like sit with spirit and just, you know, really meditate, really be like, okay, I have nothing to do. I'm going to listen to the birds. I'm going to listen to my heart. Like a lot of us weren't doing that. We were like, I'm listening to my bank account and it's saying that it's going down to my minimum. So I'm going out to hustle. But, but now we had the time to like really settle in and be like, what does my body need? What does my heart need? What does my mind need? And yeah. And I should have been studying this and this and this. So I'm doing that now.
Yeah. I really like that you mentioned like the importance of also having like your mental health in gear and your physical health in gear, because it's like, especially when we were just, you know, hustling 24/7, like it gets hard to balance all of these things. It's like, I have to go to work and then I have to go to the gym, but I also have to make dinner. And then I also have to have a functioning relationship and hobbies.
I'm hungry. like,
and it's so crazy. And you know, I'm hoping that once we get out of this, everybody will kind of have a different perspective on what makes their life fulfilling.
Absolutely. I love to see that more companies are letting people work from home, even after the pandemic, because I don't feel like anybody was meant to get dressed up to just sit at a desk every day. And so I love that people have those freedoms now too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's definitely changed the game. And I feel like a lot of, like, you know, as long as you're getting your work done, like I have a few friends that have, you know, they left California.
I heard a lot of people were going to Texas from LA.
Maybe. What's funny is we just bought our house here, and the lady that we purchased from ironically moved to Texas. My fiance's theory is that the people in California that are adamant about moving to Texas is because they wanted to go to a red state. Which is
womp womp.
You know, what can you do? That's, you know, the beauty of humanity. Everybody's different, I guess. hopefully we get better.
That would make LA a safer place though.
I really hope so.
Because they're known not to come to New York, so now they know. Don't go to LA either.
Yeah. Speaking of New York, you released a Live in NYC album. With another one of your pandemic releases. And I wanted to ask you, how would you say that the recording and marketing aspects were different between those works in comparison to your previous works? I know you released music, you know, obviously prior to pandemic as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was different. I released my live album before I fully pivoted into realizing that COVID was going to be around for a while. You know, had I known that we were going to have more time at home, I would have put a little bit more time and effort into the marketing, and I would have done it differently. I was still under the impression that I'll be able to get, you know, vinyl and still tour and still do shows where I had opportunities to sell those vinyl, because I mean, who doesn't want to hear like a live album on crisp vinyl? And so that was my plan, but we never got to that. And you could kind of tell with like how many plays I have on the live album, I didn't really know how to market it beyond social media. Like I wasn't actually going out and reaching out to people and touching people note by note. And that played a different part in marketing and getting my music out. So now I know, because of that, I know that it's just better off to do single by single as opposed to trying to push a whole album during the pandemic, just because it's a little bit harder. And like I said, I can't tour. I can't be up in somebody's face singing because it's, people just don't like that right now. like what I would do if I just released an album. So I don't know. I love it. And I don't want to say it's a flop. It's just, I just see it as something, a surprise that if you are drawn to my Spotify from one of my more popular songs like Love Ya or Mine or On My Birthday, you'll be like, oh, wow, she has a live album too. Let's listen to that. So I see it as more like a surprise release as opposed to like something that a monumental classic that I was hoping it to be.
It's like the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, okay, it's just sprinkles.
Yeah, oh my god,
I just let you have a cherry. Is like, it's not what I thought it was gonna be. Maybe I could still do vinyl, but I just don't see, I just feel like it's just gonna be here. It's not gonna, I'm not gonna have the opportunity to get it out and sell it. I don't know, because I do a lot of So Far Sound shows.
Yeah,
and so people love when you have merch at So Far Sound, so I just knew that it was gonna clean up if I had it. And I had 3 shows scheduled at the moment, like when I released it. But after that, they were like, actually, we're not doing live shows. So yeah, here's $100. I'm sorry. That's what they pretty much said to me. So I mean, I can't get mad at that. It's just a trial and error. And that's just what it's like being an independent artist. It's just, it's almost like you're walking up the mountain, you know? It's a different path. You don't know what you're going to see. You don't know what you're going to expect. But when you get to the top of the mountain, you're going to see a beautiful, wonderful view, and you're going to remember everything that you went through to get you to that top point.
Yeah. And I love that description of you're climbing up the mountain. You see the beauty in it once you get there, and you relish in it and the happiness. And yeah, you know, it's, you always have to remember, like, everybody's journey is different. And
yes,
some people reach it quicker and some people take a slower, steadier route, and that's going to be okay, because you know,
okay, yeah,
yeah, like everybody's life is different, and mm-hmm, you know, things like a random pandemic gets thrown at you and then you get stuck in it for a year and you have to deal with it, and you know, yeah, life is a learning curve.
Yes, for sure. Sure,
yeah. And, you know, as much as we would love to get back to live music, you know, hopefully, same crossing fingers. A great thing that you've been doing is keeping the performances going by doing live streams and other posts that showcase your singing chops. So we can get excited for the live shows. And like, all of this is through social media. And I wanted to ask you, do you feel like social media kind of adds on an unspoken pressure upon artists and creatives and such to constantly have something going on to be sharing with their audience?
Yeah, especially now. I think with TikTok and us not having, you know, so much to do outside of our homes, a lot of people are taking to, okay, so how can I still get my art out? And so there's like still a higher pressure to like appear on YouTube every day or appear on Instagram every day. But you could wear yourself out so thinly if you're just constantly home trying to create content. And I've been guilty of that, but I had to tell myself, no, I can't just do this. I can't just pump out a selfie or annoy my boyfriend with taking pictures of me when we're just going to get like fish and chips, you know?
That's his job, though. He's supposed to be the Instagram boyfriend,
but I can't take advantage of his creative eye. He has a great eye, and it's just worth more than just a whole bunch of like likes on Instagram. So I realized just being out of considerate of not just my boyfriend, but like the people that look up to me and look for music to only post when I'm like genuinely doing something that could motivate them or draw them towards my playlists or my albums. I don't think that it's wise for me to constantly like just post, just to post, because I'm not doing anybody any service.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to kind of see how everyone has shifted in regards to what they're posting on social media.
Yeah, with this pandemic. Yeah, just talking and talking.
We're almost out of it. That's what I keep trying to have as a positive in my life, is that we're, you know, our vaccines are here.
Yes.
And, you know, they're rolling out. We're almost out. And we, as a society, hopefully will be better and more aware of what we can do to be better people.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll post if I have something to say. Like, I'm going to post just some snippets of my new song, maybe.
Ooh, we're excited.
But they don't need to see me like playing with my puppy in the park. Like,
I feel like you would get a lot of traction with puppies in the park.
Oh my gosh, yes. I actually did, yeah. Our puppy Greta, she does get a lot of likes, but it's just adding to what's already going on, and the climate of the country right now isn't exactly healthy. So that's another thing. I don't always want to like continue to post when our country is literally in mourning. Like, there have been like a slew of deaths. And so I'm just taking a break from that too, because it's just a lot.
Yeah, it's constant. And, you know, as long as we're having the discussions with the people that we want to surround ourselves with, and we're aware, and we're kind of at least on the same page and hearing each other out, that's like a step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listening.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And hopefully it applies to the music and the entertainment industry as well. So.
Yes.
Luckily, it seems like there's some change going on, which is good to see, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as a female artist, I wanted to ask you, do you feel that women in the music industry need to portray themselves in certain ways in order to find success in their careers?
At one point, yes, I did. Especially if you're looking to be signed by a major label. And I feel like as an independent artist, wishing that a label would give me like millions of dollars to blow on recordings and videos and pictures so I could pay my friends. But no, I do think there's a different stigma. I think for a long time, we had that idea that sex sells, when in actuality, human interaction sells, and sex is a form of human interaction. So if you're just thinking about holding hands or healing the world, it'll still gain as much traction as, you know, singing about, I don't even know how to be clean, but, you know, that thing. And so because of that, they do put a lot of pressure on women to sing or portray themselves more sexually in order to sell more copies. I think they're a little bit more pressured on hip hop women than singer songwriters like me. But like to go ahead and get the weaves and get the fake boobs. And it's almost like you won't sell if you're not singing about this, 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 and this. But I don't like to fall victim to it. But I know a lot of people have. I already like to dress sexy anyway because I love my body. But at the same time, I don't ever want somebody else telling me what I should wear. Like in my Real Love video, I do have like a complete sheer dress on. Like it's sheer. Like you can see right through it. And I'm not wearing it because somebody told me to. I'm wearing it because it's literally a piece of art that somebody made for me. And so it's just harder when there's somebody like on the other side of the camera telling you what you should do and what you should be in order to get ratings, when at the end of the day, human interaction sells, not sex. And you should just be yourself and connect to those people that are like you. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there is starting to be a shift with women in the music industry, especially mainstream. Like what you said, you dress the way that you dress because, you know, you love your body and you're happy in those kinds of outfits and stuff. And in, like, I love that you say, you know, this is a piece of art that someone created for me, because fashion is art and people forget that. And a lot of work, a lot of work gets put into it. And people's fashion sense is strategic when you don't have someone kind of like whispering in your ear, hey, you got to show more cleavage and stuff.
But that's just annoying.
Right? It's like, I already don't have that much. What do you want me to
do? B plus. Be happy with my B plus. My B plus titties, not double D's. And I'm not going to buy double D's either. So there.
I have friends that, you know, are more blessed than I am. And some of them, you know, they hate having their blessed bosoms. And that's
true.
You know, it's because it's a lot of extra weight. And, you know, I've known women that have gotten reductions, and that is totally fine, because you don't realize that it puts a lot of pressure on your back. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
These are the struggles that women have to go through, everyone. You either have your body the way that it is, or you completely change yourself, or you're naturally blessed and it still doesn't make you happy.
It's okay to change yourself if that was your decision.
Yes.
But a label or a man that has no idea what it's like to wear a bra should be telling you what to do with what's in your bra. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Fashion.
I even get mad when somebody tells me to take my nose ring out. Like, I'm like, what? No.
Same. I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm like, if my nose ring or my hair color really offends you, then maybe I shouldn't work here or surround myself with you, because it's like, these are minuscule things that you can easily look past.
Exactly.
You know, someone having a negative personality trait is something that you should care a little bit more than something that's in my nose.
Exactly.
The same goes with tattoos, but that's still a work in progress, I feel like.
I mean, I feel like everybody born after 1982 has a tattoo. It's just inevitable.
Right. I have three and I still want more.
Me too. Oh, I want something on my stomach. That's the next thing. Something like on my stomach.
Yes. I have so many ideas, but I also want to like get tattoos with people. And I got a pandemic tattoo, and it was the first one I had to go in by myself, and like. Mm-hmm. I fell asleep on the chair, but I was just like, there's so many other ones where I like want to go with someone, and it's just like, that's not quite possible right now. So I'll just have
to get matching ones. Yeah.
I do have a matching tattoo with one of my best friends. So
that's so sweet.
Yeah. It took us 5 years to figure it out. So. We met when we were interning at Fearless Records, and
how cool.
We realized that both of our favorite bands is Simple Plan. And we just bonded over that. And we became best friends. See the power of music, everybody.
The power of music.
You just never know who you're going to be connected with.
I love it.
Yes.
Like, even if it's not even in your main language, like, you could still connect to it, the melody or the beat, or it's just something about it. I love it. I love music. Healing.
The universal language, you know?
Yes.
It's crazy the amount of miles that it can affect people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I could have someone that's in France or someone that's in Alabama, and then I'm here and another person in like New Zealand, and we all like bond over the same artist that we like. We could all bond over how much we love On My Birthday.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if you could give yourself any advice in regards to what you've experienced within life or within music, what advice would you give her?
Hmm. I have a different perspective of what I would have told myself. Like when I was at my last show, I said, just keep singing, but diving deeper and like thinking more about how my high school days were or middle school days were, it's just like, be more confident. It takes so much more energy to beat yourself up than it does to pick yourself up. So I just wish I didn't waste so much time like doubting myself or telling myself, oh, I shouldn't go audition for this, or I don't want to audition for that, because I was just too scared. And so I wish I could go back and like just shake myself, and like even down to like last month, I wish I could shake myself and be like, stop telling yourself bad things. Just keep it positive and be happy. It's easier to be happy. And you get so much more out of it. Like if you vibrate high, the world around you vibrates even higher, and then you get more blessings and you get abundance, and then you channel abundance in for your friends and your family too, because you're vibrating so high. So you just, it's just easier to think positively.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And after a crazy whirlwind year, I'm ready to accept all the positive vibes.
Amen to that.
Just hurl them at me like a fastball. Oh,
yeah. I feel the need to do my little my little singing bowl.
I love it.
I felt the need to hit my singing bowl for you. You needed some good vibes.
I love it. Oh my God. I feel supported. See, it's those positive vibes right there. And what do you hope that your audience will take away from your music?
I hope they have the ability to feel, whether you feel happiness or joyful or love, or you want to get cozy with your lover or hang out with your friends or ride around with me playing in your CD changer. I just want you to feel. That's it. There's so much music out that doesn't give you that allowance to like just feel it. It's just like, oh, this is nice. But I want somebody to feel. That's what it is. That's my philosophy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Music is such a personal experience. Like it can easily be a life-changing experience, and it can also be just something that you put on in the background, but it's still some kind of life experience because you actively put it on.
Yeah, I know, you reached for the button.
Yes, you know,
turned it up.
It takes an action to turn on the music, so that means you care about it at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
I try not to make music that downplays anybody or doesn't have good vibes or uplifting undertones. So I really try hard to like give good messages in my music too. So that's another thing. Feeling is healing.
Yes. And we absolutely appreciate having positive messages. You know, it's what people look for. Like, yes, I can try to find a song that encompasses my, you know, maybe emotional turmoil, but also we do need these uplifting songs to kind of bring us out of it as well. And it's always appreciated. Never stop.
I do love a good sad song, though. But
I always say I'm a sucker for breakup songs. And like really angry songs. Like one of the bands that I play when I'm like feeling really angry is 3 Days Grace. And like, sometimes very rarely I'll just be like, I want to listen to 3 Days Grace. And like my fiance will be like, what happened? And be like, I want to listen to What If for the millionth and one time.
That's how I feel about Tori Amos. Oh my gosh. I'll just be listening to her in the bathtub, and they're like, my boyfriend's like, are you okay? Like, just listen to the piano composition.
I love it. Like, I just like I want it in the background where I can,
yeah,
where I can think about it, but not think about it because I've listened to it so many times.
But you listen to it so many times. Yep. Yeah.
Yes. And to kind of end off the interview portion, what other big exciting things should we be expecting from you in the near future?
Well, hopefully more singles. That's my goal for the next 2 years. So just keep rocking with me. Follow me on Spotify, Lee Anderson, and more songs will come out.
Yeah. And apart from Spotify, where can everybody find you online?
Okay, well, you could definitely follow me on Instagram at I am L-E-A Anderson. Oh, I'm not posting as much as I used to, huh? But I'm still on there and I do respond and speak back and I follow back. You could also find my music on iTunes. It's on Tidal. Subscribe to my YouTube page. Yeah, my music's on everything. So I appreciate the support. And Bandcamp, my music is available for 25% off on the first Fridays of each month. And you can get the whole database for $20. So I appreciate the support there too.
Yeah, awesome. And Bandcamp is one of the websites where artists can get the most fulfillment in terms of payment. So remember that, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Pay artists directly, please. They deserve it.
Please.
They put in some work and we love them. And they give us awesome music.
More payment, more music. For sure.
Yes. And to go into the coffee shop appreciation portion, here at Crooners and Coffee Shops, we love our coffee and a pandemic was not going to stop that. You know, takeout coffee was a thing. And luckily, it seems like everything's slowly starting to open up. I just moved out here. I'm in Lake Balboa and there is a coffee shop called Black Heart Coffee that is literally a 5-minute walk. There's like more people there than normal. And maybe it's because of Saturday. But also it was so nice to start seeing people, you know, hanging around for coffee. And it's like such a little thing to be excited about. But shout out to Black Heart Coffee. I got their Black Heart Latte today and I was very happy with it. Lee, do you have any coffee shops or cafes that you would like to shout out in New York?
Yes, absolutely. I have to shout out my favorite coffee shop right now. It's called Common Good Harlem, and it's literally a 3-minute walk for me. So I always go and I get a hot mocha with oat milk, and it's just so divine and nice. And sometimes I get like their packs of coffee so I can make it at home too. So yeah, that's what I want to. I love it. I love the coffee shop, and it's owned by a woman. It's owned by a woman from Texas. So I always support that too.
Yes. Support local coffee shops, everyone.
It's right there in Harlem on, it's on Frederick Douglass and 150th, between 150th and 149th and Frederick Douglass.
Woo! Whenever we get a chance to come to New York, we will have to go. We will have to get coffee.
It's so cute. And they always play music that sounds a little bit like Lauryn Hill and Layla Hathaway in there. So I love that too.
Love it. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Definitely have to go there.
Yes.
Well, Lee, it was awesome having you on here. Thank you so much for joining us.
So nice to meet you, Heather. Thank you for having me.
It was nice to digitally meet you as well. And hopefully we'll be able to meet in person soon.
Likewise. Hopefully, yes. After I get my shot, I'm coming to California.
Yes, we will welcome you with open arms.
Yes, I'm going to be out here.
The venue should be opening up soon. So.
Oh, I hope so.
I hope so too. I am ready.
Yes.
I'm ready to surround myself with sweaty people.
And use your tickets.
Yeah. Use my tickets. Have my eardrums blown out.
Yes.
Well, Lee, we hope that you're staying safe, staying healthy.
Thank you.
Yes.
Likewise.
Thank you. And to our listeners, stay safe out there, everyone, and stay caffeinated.